Welcome to Sports Beat KC, the Kansas City Stars daily sports podcast. It's Tuesday, May 27th, and I'm Blair Kirkhoff. The team with the best record in baseball calls Kansas City home. That's right, the Royals woke up Tuesday with the game's best mark by percentage points, and what a change of scenery that is. Over the past few seasons, the Royals have gotten off to such a dreadful start, hanging out at the bottom of the AL Central standings just right out of the gate. This year's different. The first full month of the season's almost over, and the Royals are having one of their best Aprils ever. On today's show, columnist Sam Mellinger and I discuss the Royals, what's gone right, and what could be better. And in the end, Lynn Worthy, who is traveling from Detroit to Pittsburgh, where the Royals take on the Pirates tonight, he joins the conversation to update us on the Salvador Perez thumb injury. So let's get started talking Royals on a program that started as a Sports Beat Live.
Hey, good morning from Kansas City, home of the team with baseball's best record, and welcome to Sports Beat Live. You know, in the history of this show, we have never said that Kansas City had the best record in baseball until today. Okay, the show started in February, but still, you know. Listen, if the show had started any time after the 2015 season, we wouldn't have been able to say that. So 14-7, the Royals have the second best start in their history. And as I read in a Lynn Worthy story posted on KansasCity.com, today, the Royals waited until mid-May in each of the last three seasons to record their 14th victory. So, hey, let's start by thanking the University of Kansas Medical System for their sponsorship of this program and introduce our guest, singular. Hey, Sam.
You know, I love you, Blair. I'm always here.
Yeah, you are, man. And I really appreciate it. We think Lynn Worthy's going to be here, too. Lynn is working right now. In fact, as we're talking, he's talking to Mike Matheny, Royals manager, and so we'll hopefully get the sort of the latest on Royals baseball when Lynn joins us. Hey, this show is all about you, so send us your questions and comments on the Royals, the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Sam, a week ago when we were sitting here in this fine program, chatting about the Royals. They were good. They had a winning record, and we're looking okay. That night, Hanser Alberto finished the game on the mound for the Royals against the Tampa Rays and Tampa Bay Rays, and so they lost their second straight to the Rays in ugly fashion. Keller started that game and didn't get out of the second inning, and I just thought, okay, here we go. It's been fun, you know. The good times are over for the Royals, and then they pick up a really good win the following night against the Rays, where Rays scored one in the one in the top of the ninth. The Royals scored two in the bottom of the ninth to win by one, and that started the five-game winning streak they're on now. They go to Detroit and win four in a row. So they're 14-7. They have the best record in Major League Baseball, and there are things that they can still improve upon, but there are also a lot of things that are going their way as well. Just what are your – give me some general thoughts about this team and what's going on.
If they could play the Tigers the rest of the season, I'd have different things to say. God, the Tigers are a mess, just an absolute mess. But we like to focus on the Royals in this show.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a hard group to figure out at this point in the season because it's only, 21 games? But 21 games ain't nothing, you know? And I think when they win – I don't think they're lucky, you know. It doesn't seem they don't win on luck, but their run differential is plus four. They are more games over 500 than their run differential, you know. And just for comparison's sake, I think the Dodgers are plus 30. And you know, historically, for whatever it matters or whatever people care about numbers, you know, usually your run differential is a pretty good indication of who you are going forward. And if you're underperforming, then you'll probably get better. If you're overperforming, you'll probably come down. But I think that the Royals are going to be a team that outperforms you know, their run differential for a lot of reasons. Some of it is situational. I think that they can manufacture runs in a way, you know, they're not sitting back. They've got some power. You know, they definitely, you know, Carlos Santana and Jorge Soler are two of the best power hitters, you know, in the American League. But they also manufacture. And, you know, I think that comes into play in one run games. And I love the way that they're using their bullpen. And they've got a deep bullpen that I think, you know, can, again, outperform sort of the overall run differential. So it's a really confident group. I mean, you could hear that in the way that they talk. But, you know, I think more importantly, you can see it in the way that they play. They should be confident. I think, you know, that Rays series, I think I'm going to remember that Rays series all season. And I think I'll remember it, whether the Royals win the division, wild card, fall out of it, whatever. And because I think what we saw in that game, those first two games that you mentioned, Blair, if the Royals don't play clean, they're going to have a really hard time beating a decent opponent. You know, they had four errors, I think, in one of those games and three in the other, or maybe it was three and two. And also some plays that just didn't get made that should have got made that weren't errors. And they just, I mean, they got worked in those first two games. And then the third game, they also weren't clean defensively, but that relentlessness, you know, came through. And that's a trait that we've seen in good Royals teams before, right? Not too long ago. So I think we saw like the good and the bad of who the Royals can be just all wrapped up in that series.
You know, in those first two games against the Rays, Whit Merrifield had the worst game defensively he's ever had, he said, right? I think he had two errors in one of the games.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And that was also the game where Santana just missed the pop-up, right? Didn't bounce off his glove. He just never hit his glove.
Yeah.
And that led to more runs for Tampa. So you're right. But this team is good so good defensively. They're not great, but they're above average defensively, that when they have moments like that, it's noticeable. It's really noticeable. Yeah. And it leads to, you know, it's something they find difficult to overcome, especially against a team as good as the, you know, the defending American League champion. I want to go back to a couple of other things that you said. So the Royals win on Monday afternoon. By the way, digging the noon starts, yes. By the way. Weekday baseball, love it.
All of them, bring it, yeah.
Yep. I'm even okay with these 5:30 games we're going to see the next two nights with the Pirates. So they went 3-2 on Monday. Keller gets him through six. I mean, it was a struggle, but he got him through. We'll talk a little bit more about Keller here in a moment. But they get to the bullpen, which has been really good for the Royals. And what does Barlow do? He comes in and walks the first two guys he faces in the seventh, and then strikes out three in a row. Holland gives up a triple to open the eighth. And leaves them stranded. So they did face some stress in that game. And you know, you're right about the Tigers. What a woe is me, you know, organization they are, at least for this series. They came into the series having had some success. They went to Houston and swept the series. So, but look, that's monumental for the Royals to win four in a row on the road. I believe, first of all, it's never happened in Detroit. I think that's right. And sweeping four game series doesn't happen often for the Royals. I forgot what those numbers were that the Royals put out, but it's just, you know, it was really kind of unicornish the fact that they went on the road to win four in a row, and now they look to keep it going at Pittsburgh the next two nights. But so winning 3-2 on Monday means they've improved to 6-0 in one run games, and they extended that incredible streak that they have of winning the winning streak they have, leading after seven innings. It's up to like 56 or 57. I don't know what it is, but it's amazing. By far the longest such streak in baseball. But they've got a couple other statistics that I think reasonable people can conclude are not going to keep up. You know, Danny Duffy's 0.39 ERA is not going to keep up. My God, it'd be terrific if it did, but I don't think that's gonna happen. There's a couple more like that as well. So, given that, don't you think there's going to be a little bit of revert to the mean here for the Royals in some of these areas?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Yes. There's some guys overperforming. I don't think, you know, Carlos Santana, I think, is a good player. I don't know that he's going to, you know, be slugging 486 for the entire season, you know. And, you know, you mentioned Duffy. You know, there's some other, like, Josh Stomont's going to give up more than, you know, he's been unbelievable. He's going to give up. He's going to have a higher than an 0.75 ERA. You know, there's some stuff like that. But I guess what I'm – one of the things I'm thinking about is, you know, they need to play better. You know, when I'm talking about like the run differential not matching up in the record, they need to play better. But these wins count. You don't have to give the wins back because your run differential isn't very high. So it's better to be 14-7 at this point than, you know, what would it be, 11-10 would probably be, you know, their
right
expected record with that run differential. But the thing is, I think they can be better than they've been. You know, there's some guys we talk about, Duffy and Stomont and some, you know, whatever, but Hunter Dozier has not done anything. I mean, he hit two home runs in a week, right? Like, were they both in Detroit?
Well, I know the one he hit on Sunday was a big one.
Yeah.
He tied it or put him ahead, but that ended up being a significant. I always, you know, it's a big game when he's talking with Joel after the game. So, yeah. I don't know if both of them came in Detroit, but one of them did, and it was a big one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, his on base, I'm just looking at it on the Baseball Reference page. His on base is below 200. His slugging's below 300. He's better than that. You know, I mean, he's going to hit better than it. Andrew Benintendi, you know, who had a great game in one of the, you know, the diving catch and the home run.
Yeah.
I forgot what day that was, maybe Friday. But anyway, you know, he's going to hit better than he's hit. Jorge Soler, you know, hasn't really gotten going. Mondesi is going to play at some point. And I know like what people think as soon as his name comes up and I get it. But he instantly makes them, faster, better defensively, you know, more talented, more dangerous. You know, Brad Keller, there's something, you know, you said we're going to talk about him. I mean, there's a lot to get into with him. But my point is, when I'm talking about the run differential needs to be better, they need to be playing better to, you know, maintain their record, their win percentage, or even close to it. But the next breath of that is that they're fully capable of doing that. I'm not guaranteeing that they will. You know, I don't know that this is a 97-win team or whatever. But I do think they've got a lot of interesting pieces. They believe in each other. I think Mike Matheny is the right guy for this moment, for this group. And, you know, there's some stuff to believe in for sure with this group.
Mike Matheny, who's with that four-game sweep and five-game winning streak, has improved his record as a Royals manager to 40-41. So if they win today, he'll be a 500 manager for the Royals. And there haven't been many of those in the history of the Royals. Ned Yost didn't finish his Royals tenure over 500. He was, because of those 100 lost seasons in his, you know, his last couple, he finished well below 500. But, Well,
500 in the playoffs, though, he might tell you.
22-9, the best winning percentage for a manager in Major League history for like a minimum of 30 games or something. Yeah, that's right. And that's kind of important. So, you mentioned Alberto Mondesi, and it looks like his prognosis isn't improving. He's going to be – in fact, I think I read in the Mellinger Minutes that he's only kind of at the halfway point maybe of his absence. Wow. Come on, right?
Yeah. Nick Kenny went on, who I think does a great job. And I think he, 6'10". I think it was 6'10". I hope I don't get that wrong because I know there's some feelings there. But he went on 6'10 recently and said that he thought it was a 6 to 8 week injury. And you know, assuming that's the case, that's mid to late May. You know, that's around May 13th, I think, would be exactly 6 weeks. And then what, the 27th then would be exactly 8 weeks. So, I mean, it's frustrating, you know, that he keeps getting hurt. And especially in oblique, those are the kinds of things, you know, the soft tissue, you know, that kind of keep coming up a little bit. You know, when he dislocated his shoulder, you go, okay, well, whatever. You know, that's kind of a different deal, freak deal. But obliques, you just wonder about. And I think they're doing the right thing. You know, my understanding is that they want him to be 100% healed, you know, not 95% healed. And I think that's the right way to go about it. So, you know, yeah, I mean, when I talk about Mondesi hasn't played, he's not going to play tomorrow. But, you know, they've got this guy, you know, like I just think about it like this, and maybe this is a weird way to think about it, but if the Royals traded for somebody with Mondesi's talent in the middle of May, that'd be a huge deal in Kansas City. You know what I mean? Like we would talk about that on this fine program and others for a long time. So, you know, there's some more coming, you know, and, you know, some of that, that's going to, again, that just defensively, they're good right now. You know, if you just go around the diamond, I think Nicky Lopez, I've been impressed with him at shortstop. I don't know about what
no, we're going to talk Nicky Lopez. That's next. Let's do it. I mean, you talk about above the mean, who expected this from Nicky, especially after the spring training that was so poor for him that he was on his way to Omaha / alternate site. You know, he was gone until the oblique injury hit Mondesi, and talk about a guy taking full advantage of this opportunity. It's Nicky Lopez.
Yeah, I mean, he's it's an oversimplification, but I mean, he's through 21 games been what the Royals thought he would be, you know, before last season and before that, you know, when he was coming up, which is, you know, basically not a guy that you're necessarily going to win because of, you know, not necessarily like a star ceiling. But a really good player and a guy that can start and be important for a championship type club. And you know, and the way he does that is contact. You know, that was the biggest thing with him. I thought like last year when he was struggling and the year before, you know, when he was coming up, I remember JJ Piccolo told me, and I'm sure he said it to other people, but he thought Nicky Lopez was the best contact hitter that they had ever had in their system since they had.
Wow.
And that just went away when he got up. And some of the, you know, big league pitchers are really freaking good and hitting is hard. But he needs to do that, you know, and it's, we can talk about the walk rate, but to me, it's like the strikeouts. Like if he's not striking out, that's his game. And he's not striking out that much now.
And neither's the team. I mean, I think they're second in either the AL or baseball in fewest strikeouts per game. So
yeah. And another thing, I'm sorry, but like he is almost even his walks and strikeouts, Nicky Lopez. It's 6 walks, 7 strikeouts. And that's the kind of player he needs to be. And he'll get some breaks, you know, that triple that bounced over the first baseman the other day. But we saw teams get good breaks because they put the ball in play a lot in 2014 and 15, right? Like that's a thing that happens. And I've also been really impressed with him defensively at shortstop. I you know, I just wondered, you know, when he had to shift over when Mondi got hurt, you know, it's a different position and that he's a second baseman in the big leagues for a reason and not a shortstop. You know what I mean? But the arm's there. You know, he made kind of a bad throw. Was it yesterday that play at the plate where Salvi got hurt, you know, hit the ground, you know, that needs to be up. But, you know, he's played the position really well. And I know that this part of it is an oversimplification, but if he just concentrates, and he says it all the time in the third person, right? Like, I just need to be Nicky Lopez, and that's what I need to do. And if that means, again, contact, line drives, ground balls even, that's great. But just, you know, no walks or no strikeouts and take your walks when you can.
The Kansas City Royals lineup is backed up by the region's strongest team in healthcare. The University of Kansas Health System. We both suit up with one goal in mind, to win. The University of Kansas Health System, official healthcare provider of the Royals.
Hey, it's Blair. We have a special subscription offer for SportsBeat KC listeners, unlimited digital access to the Kansas City Stars award-winning sports coverage. Sign up now for 1 year of Sports Pass for access to all the sports news, features, and columns presented on the KansasCity.com site, and it's only $30. That's a 40% savings off our regular rate. Your subscription will automatically renew after the initial term at $50 unless you tell us to cancel. Your subscription helps support the sports coverage of KansasCity.com and the Kansas City Star, and that support has never been more important. Please visit KansasCity.com/SportsBeatKCOffer to get this special offer. And as always, thanks for listening.
So two other quick thoughts on Nicky Lopez. You know, Mondesi does strike out a lot. So they're getting, they're getting those, they're not having those outs to deal with, worthless outs when you strike out. And the other thing that I really appreciate about Nicky Lopez, he can lay down a bunt. And we have seen the value of that in some of these close games, right? I mean, he's been involved in a couple of late inning rallies because of his ability to bunt. And we haven't seen that from the Royals, really, even in their good years. That's just not part of the Royals game. But, you bring Mike Matheny, a National League manager, over, and that's part of the game that's in the National League that you don't see as much in the American League. And the Royals have utilized that to their big advantage so far this year. Okay, you mentioned the throw that Lopez made that created the thumb injury for Salvador Perez. I didn't see the throw live. So did he one hop it? What was
He was just coming in on it. It was the right play to go home. He was coming in on the, I can't remember if it was a one or two hopper or whatever. He was coming in, kind of throwing off of one foot. And I mean, that's out of character. He's going to make that throw, 98 out of 100 times or whatever. Just hit the ground. And Sal, I mean, he was fine. Like, Sal got it and picked him up and made the tag. And to be clear, I don't think that Sal hurt his thumb because the throw hit the ground. I mean, he had enough time to kind of field it and make the tag. But it's again, that's a play that he always makes. And it just kind of sticks out because he didn't, right? It's the Royals have had guys where you're not surprised when they make a bad throw. Lopez is not one of those.
Right. And Salvi stayed in the game for a little while longer. In fact, when Cam Gallagher came in, there was the speculation was it was on the throw, but nobody knew for sure until it was confirmed later by the Royals. So, okay, well, so I said we're going to talk about Keller, and we might as well throw Mike Minor in there as well. These are the two Royals starters that, listen, as a group, they've been phenomenal. They won a four-game series on the road and gave up five runs. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? And what's going on with Brad Keller? And is there reason to believe we're going to see a better version of him going forward?
It's a weird deal, man, and it's kind of like one of those ink blot tests with him. You can kind of see whatever you want with him right now, and I thought that start yesterday in Detroit was kind of low key, very important for him, to either get right against a bad team or, if he struggles, you really got to think about, making a decision of some sort. It's a weird deal because his makeup, like who he is pretty consistent. Everybody has bad starts, but he's always been pretty consistent. Just getting those ground balls, not the best swings. He's healthy, or at least it looks that way when you look at his velocity is even up a little bit.
Yeah.
The movement on his pitches, we can track everything now. The movement on his pitches is normal. It's mechanical. And sometimes, and he'll talk about this, and others that are much smarter than me with pitching mechanics talked about it, that, sometimes his front side just comes open a little bit too quick. And, the rhythm, of his delivery is off a little bit. And, with a guy like that, that doesn't have DeGrom, kind of stuff, this much can make a big difference. If he's on the black, he's getting it. And if he gets into the middle of the plate, it gets hit hard. To be honest with you, like when I watch him struggle, I keep thinking he's tipping his pitches in some way because he's good and he's throwing hard and he's got movement and it just looks like guys are taking swings that we haven't seen them take against him before. And now, I mean, a start or two ago, I asked Mike Matheny about that. And he said that was one of their first thoughts too. And that they investigated and watched all the tape and watched tape of both. Is he doing something, is he in his glove differently when it's a breaking ball or whatever? And also looking at when a guy's on second, or right. Is he on somewhere, something like that. And they couldn't find anything. You know, they were satisfied that it wasn't that. So it's a weird deal because he's been a lot better than what we see now. Look, the Detroit start is yesterday, right?
Yeah.
You know, you look at it and it was, you know, six innings, two runs. You'll take that. You'll take that every day from him, right? From anybody. But God, I think he had 10 base runners. That was a pitch or two away from, you know, sort of six runs in three innings. But I did think the one thing that was maybe the most encouraging part about that, other than, you know, making the pitches when you have to, and that's competitiveness and confidence, which is, you know, something that you monitor when a guy's struggling and passed all those tests, obviously. But another one is they put him back out in the sixth. And they could have, you know, end on a high note after five, you know, we'll take it. Good job. Give it to the pen. And they put him back out there. It's the bottom of the order. There were reasons for it. They were short on relievers after the previous few games. But he went out there and he performed there as well. And I think confidence is an issue with him right now. And I think that was a big moment for him to kind of and something that he can build on going forward.
Give Mike Matheny credit for that as well, right? I mean, I agree. I totally expected when he got through the fifth, and it was a stressful fifth, as I recall, that, okay, you know, that he's going to leave. I'm not sure he had the lead at that point. I think the Tigers scored in the top or the bottom of the fifth, and the Royals scored in the top of the sixth. They got the single run there, and I may be wrong. I might have my innings mixed up. But then he came out and pitched the six. I thought, wow, okay.
Especially like the day after with Duffy, right? They pulled him after five, and he was at 83, 84 pitches, something like that.
Right, Keller was over that.
Yeah. I'm looking at it here. The Tigers got him one in the third, one in the fourth, you know, and then obviously that means none in the fifth or sixth. Royals gave him the lead in the top of the fifth. So he could have got out of there after five.
And had the win, right?
Yeah, whatever. That's, you know, that's important to them. You know, that's important to pitchers.
It is.
I'm talking about confidence and all that. So,
okay.
But Mike, and this is another thing though, right? With Matheny, you know, this is a theme of the show today, right? With Mike, but he's making all the right moves, you know, and he's got a group that really believes in him and believes in each other. I mean, they have all the characteristics of a team with a highly performing manager.
That belief thing is real too in baseball, especially when it's in the everyday sport of baseball. You come to the ballpark confident. That means everything to this team. Yep. And I thought they were going to be in trouble on Monday. I thought the Tigers, look, they had some success earlier in the year. They're a proud organization. They got Cabrera. They've got some veterans, and I just thought, okay, enough. They're going to say enough is enough. They're going to take advantage of a struggling Royals pitcher, and they still didn't get it done. And I just thought, wow, that win impressed me a lot. But I do agree with you. I think when we look back, if this success continues for the Royals, we'll look back at the final game of the Tampa Bay series, and I think the second game of that White Sox set when they went to. You know, they won the 4-3 game in extra innings at Chicago, you know, earlier in the year. Those are just two victories among the 14 that really stand out right now for me.
Opening day as well.
Yes, opening day, falling behind, huge, and coming back and winning that game. So Jacob Junis tonight against the Pirates in Pittsburgh. And hey, let's bring in Lynn Worthy just for sort of a final word on maybe get an update on the Salvador Perez injury. Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Good. Can you guys hear me?
We got you. You sound like you're using public transportation. I think Lynn's in the airport. Meanwhile, okay, this is Mike Matheny on Salvador Perez's injury.
That was it. The play at the plate where Salvi sort of jabbed the thumb there. Is that what happened? And then was he just feeling it again on swings, or what prompted you guys to take him out?
Yeah, you had it right there. First of all, that was a really good play. Nicky didn't give him a good throw, but it was the exact right play to make. It was trying to cut him down at home. Might have had a little bit more time than what he thought. A really nice pick by Salvi on the back end. And unfortunately, as he applied the tag, it just pushed his thumb back a little bit. He feels we got everything looked at. They believe this is it's going to be a day-to-day thing that he should be fine with, but just needed to get him out so we could get him a better look.
Okay. And we got Lynn Worthy back. Lynn is making his way from Detroit to Pittsburgh. And we just heard from Mike Matheny, Lynn, from the question that you asked him yesterday about the Salvador Perez update. I'm wondering if Mike had anything more to say about that today.
As of right now, he is penciled in the lineup. So they're optimistic that he'll be able to play today. That could change once they get to the ballpark. They still haven't, you know, gone to the park yet. They're playing tonight. But as of right now, he's penciled in. So they think Salvador's going to be able to give it a go.
A catcher?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow.
So, I mean, again, the lineup hasn't officially come out, but that's what it was looking like as of, you know, whatever time it is this morning.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, very good. Hey, Lynn, we're soon going to wrap it up, but let's just get your thoughts on general thoughts on this team. What's been going right, and what's the, you know, you're with them. I know you're not in the clubhouse because nobody's in clubhouses besides the players and team personnel anymore, but you're close to the team, and the mood just has to be as good as it can possibly be right now.
Yeah, and it's and you know, we wrote about it this morning, just the fact that for them it was important to get off to the start because they haven't had that, and because they haven't, even individual guys who have won, they won other places, these guys haven't won together. And so to get out of the gate the way they have, I think, is a big thing for their confidence. And, you know, I think they just really are feeling like, you know, they're finding different ways to win. Like, they still don't feel like they're playing as well as they should, but the fact that they've, you know, they've had some games where they've put up some big numbers offensively, they've had pitchers come through and just be lights out. I think that the fact that they've won in different ways is really – just added to that confidence.
Yes, and being undefeated in one-run games is huge for them. And one of the themes that of this show today, and Sam and I have talked about, is Mike Matheny seems to be making all the right moves, right? Pushing a lot of right buttons, getting we're talking about a, you know, a sixth inning for Brad Keller yesterday, making the right bullpen moves, bunting. But, you know, calling for the sacrifice bunt and getting, you know, getting runs that way. Things seem to be going well for Mike Matheny.
Yeah. And, you know, when the players are able to execute, then you look, you know, really smart. And if the players aren't able to execute, then, you know, then Melly is going to rip you.
Yes, he is. And smile while he's doing it. All right. Hey, Lynn, thanks for checking in. Really appreciate it. I love the effort, you know, in transit from Detroit to Pittsburgh to follow the team with baseball's best record. Sam Mellinger, thanks for hanging around all morning. And thanks to the University of Kansas Health System as our sponsor. Thanks to Beth Welsh, our producer. We will be back next Tuesday to talk about perhaps the first place Royals again. Thanks a lot, you guys. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
That'll do it for today. Thanks to our SportsBeat KC production staff of Derek Donovan, Beth Welsh, Monty Davis, Jeff Rosen, Chris Fickett, and Savannah Smith. Tip of the cap to Sam Mellinger and Lynn Worthy for stopping by and talking Royals. Links to their stories can be found in the show notes and on kansascity.com. Hey, we got another deal for you. You can subscribe to Sports Pass for 99 cents a month. That's right, 99 pennies a month. Sports Pass is the online version of the Star Sports section. You get all the stories that appear in the print editions of the Star, plus many more stories that appear only or first on the website. After 3 months, it auto-renews at $5.99 a month, unless you cancel. It's always a great time to subscribe. As we mentioned many times throughout this show, the Royals have the best record in baseball. Our local colleges are always making news, and of course, it's never not Chiefs season, especially this week with the NFL draft starting on Thursday. So how do you get this deal? You go to kansascity.com/sportspass2020. That's kansascity.com/sportspass2020. Do you want more than just sports coverage? Check out the entire Kansas City Star product. Sports news, features, commentary, and analysis, the whole thing. You got all the stories written by my talented colleagues, plus additional national sports and news sports and business coverage with the e-edition. The details for all of these deals can be found at account.kansascity.com/subscribe. And if you're having trouble hunting down any of those offers, you send me an email, bkirchhoff at kcstar.com, and I will get you to the right place. So whether it's the Sports Pass or the full subscription, you're getting and supporting the best sports and news coverage in Kansas City and helping us produce programs like Sports Beat KC. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back on Wednesday with another episode, and I bet we talk Chiefs and the draft.